coming back next week. Listeners, have a great day, have a great week, and just to leave you with this, please be safe, but also care about each other. Have a wonderful day.
And that's Spotlight. Stay tuned for Business Insights with Mario. The news up next.
And now on Alive 90.5, here's the latest news brought to you by PACE, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Good morning, I'm Brady Evans. The Federal Treasurer has warned coronavirus lockdowns in Melbourne could cost the national economy $1 billion a week. Josh Frydenberg says the government is contemplating bringing forward income tax cuts to stimulate the economy. The Treasurer gave no indication there would be changes to the JobKeeper or JobSeeker schemes. Mr. Frydenberg told Sky News the coronavirus situation in Victoria demands a national response.
Victoria is a quarter of the nation's economy, and what happens in Victoria matters to the rest of the nation. That's why this needs to be a full court press, not just from the Commonwealth government and the Victorian government, but indeed from all governments to support efforts in Victoria to ensure that we don't see a spread of new cases.
New South Wales police say more than 40,000 people have applied for permits to cross into the state from Victoria. Borders closed overnight and there are reports of traffic queues up to an hour to cross the Murray River. Police in Albury-Wodonga say the majority of people attempting to cross state lines are local residents trying to go to work or go about their daily lives. Tonight, South Australia will close its border to Victoria. Authorities in Western Australia are reporting a surge in Australian residents from both overseas and interstate trying to enter the state's COVID safe haven. Premier Mark McGowan says the noticeable increase in arrivals to WA has put a strain on the state's border control and quarantine resources. Yesterday, the federal government imposed caps on numbers of international arrivals into WA. Health Minister Roger Cook says the request on number limits was made by the state government.
This request was made because we need to slow the flow of arrivals. This is to ensure that we manage our arrivals and quarantine arrangements to the highest standards, standards which have kept Western Australians protected to date.
The United Nations says the US will leave the World Health Organization next July after receiving notification from President Donald Trump of the decision. President Trump has accused the health agency of becoming a puppet for China during the coronavirus pandemic. The United States currently owes the WHO more than $280 million in fees and contributions. The US has been a member of the WHO for more than 70 years. A growing list of social media platforms are suspending cooperation with Chinese authorities in response to sweeping new powers imposed by Beijing in Hong Kong. Facebook, Google, and Twitter have already announced they've suspended requests for user information from Hong Kong's government. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani reports.
TikTok's decision to stop operations in Hong Kong of its popular video app is strategic. This is ultimately a Chinese-owned company. ByteDance, its parent firm, is the world's most valuable startup. But TikTok doesn't operate in China. Still, it struggled to fight off suspicions that it operates under Chinese law or under the control of Beijing. Which is why TikTok has been under pains to try and change its global image, and this move could be one more step towards doing that. TikTok has also consistently said in interviews and statements that if asked, it would never hand over data to Beijing.
Turning to sport, and in the English Premier League, Arsenal and Leicester have played out a 1-1 draw. Jamie Vardy scored an 84th-minute equaliser for the Foxes against a 10-man Arsenal. In other games overnight, Chelsea defeated Crystal Palace 3-2, while Watford got the better of Norwich 2-1.
National Radio News is supported by the Judith Nielsen Institute for Journalism and Ideas and the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.org.au.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5. Brought to you by Concise Finance, your local mortgage broker. It's currently jumped up to 13 degrees. We're looking for a top of 17 today. Mostly cloudy, early fog patches, which we've had in the west. Slight chance of a shower in the morning and some light winds during the day. The sun will set tonight at 5:02. Looking for the rest of the week and weekend. Thursday, fog, then sunny, 6 to 19. Friday, it's going to be a cloudy one. And it's going to be, my screen just jumped around, 7 to 18. Saturday, possible shower, 9 to 21. And Sunday, sunny, 6 to 17. The moon is a waning gibbous with last quarter next Monday.
The updated traffic brought to you by Fernwood Gym of Seven Hills and North Rocks on Alive 90.5.
And just to have a look at the traffic, just needing to refresh my screen there and we'll bring it to you. The traffic at the moment, sorry, it's jumping around.
No, Moorebank. Okay.
Just the one issue, Moorebank M5 motorway approaching Moorebank Avenue. We've got a crash of a car which blew out its tyre. One of four westbound lanes closed lane one. The motorway crew is attending. Please take care if you're driving on the M5 in the westbound direction this morning. 6 minutes past 10. You're on Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario. Good morning, Mario.
Good morning, darling. Good morning, world. Good morning, Australia. Good morning, Sydney. And good morning, Victorians. I know you have been a pleasant surprise. Well, it's unfortunately Victoria has been in lockdown, total lockdown. And, you know, hopefully to all our listeners in Victoria, that, you know, we're going to make it a better day for you, right, Darren? You know,
we'll make it a better day for everyone.
Absolutely, that is absolutely. But before we continue with the radio show, I'd like to share a few informations with you. And that information is based on news I just recently shared on a Business Insights with Mario Facebook. To all our listeners, if you like to hear our guest in studio and, you know, just to tune in on a live 905.com.au, right, Darren? And press the button.
Stream now.
And there is a opportunity you can drop the line SMS and Darren's going to be happy to reply to you with your comments and with your suggestions. Now, Darren and I are going now way back in the last maybe 4 months, 3 months. Darren Capes improved my radio show Business in Mario. After 2 years wondering how to create a better show, I was very grateful that Darren, he offered a hand and, you know, he created this show much, much, much more better, more quality, more music. And there was not much pedaling for me, you know, like breaks between the songs and the guests. And truly, you know, I'd like to say, first of all, our lady chair, Gillian Shrieker, and she's putting me in this role to have my own show. Secondly, to Darren Capes Davis, who is my producer as well, but as well the show evolving, and we are very grateful to have the new show with a very familiar face. His name is Jim Taggart, and needless to say, Jim Taggart, he, you know, headhunted my producer. how much did he offer Jim Taggart for the years? Like less than five?
I'm getting paid similar, I think. You pay chocolate, Jim's paid muffins.
Yeah, look, that's a good one. Well, I'll share with you that one. The point we're trying to make that this station is actually evolving around the people who make the content, not just the content, but as well, you know, environment of the show, as a Darren Capes Davis. And Darren Capes Davis team up with a good friend of mine and somebody who 8 years ago, 9 years ago, when I started my business and I wrote my very first book, you know, Darren, you don't know this, but I went to Jim Taggart. Everybody's told me, you need to talk to Jim, you need to talk to Jim. And it's like, okay, Jim is like, you know, very busy. Like, everybody's around him, you know what I mean? And he's a very well-known businessman and a mentor. And, you know, he knows his stuff. He knows the people. So I come to Jim, you know what I mean, with my booklet, you know what I mean, my script. It's like, hi, Jim, my name is Mari. He said, yes, Mari. He said, like, can you write me forward? He says to me, for what? I said, okay, I'm not going to embarrass myself. And that was my book, you know, Competitive Business Intelligence, my very first one. He said, absolutely, Mario. But may I do MCing for your book launch? I said, absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, from today, every Wednesday, you're going to have the unique opportunity to talk to one and only Jim Taggart. Reason why I say one and only, you need to discover by yourself. Needless to say, the music, the news and everything in the background except the speech of the Jim Taggart and his guests, you gonna enjoy this show. It's called The Spotlight, right, Darren?
Spotlight.
And it goes Wednesdays
9 to 10.
9 to 10. You can't have the better time. You just have the first sip of coffee, or second sip of coffee.
Start with breakfast radio on Alive 90.5 and go through to midday. Else do you need to be?
It's Alive 90.5. You love this station. Tune in. You will enjoy every moment. We'll take a short break now, Darren. And you're listening to Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario. And please don't forget, Wednesday, 9 to 10 a.m., Jim Taggart, Darren Capes, Spotlight. You will love it. Should I continue talking?
No.
Okay.
Just waiting. You're on Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario, and we will take a short break and be back shortly.
Alive 90.5.
Seems you've been changing lately. I can feel the distance in your touch. There's two people in this hallway, but there's only one of us that's trying to keep this fire going. Should I just give up? I sense trouble on the horizon. I'm afraid our time is up. The clouds are rolling and I feel you drifting away. And though my intuition tells me that it's too late, that in these conditions trying to bring back the flame is like trying to light a match in the rain. I still want to make you love me again. Even though my intuition tells me that it's the end, that in these conditions trying to bring back the flame is like trying to light a match in the rain. Yeah, I can taste it, it's the end. This love's impossible to save. Though you embrace it, I can't face it, so I look the other way. There's trouble in your eyes, but I pretend that we're okay. I wish that we could compromise, but there's just nothing left to say. The clouds are rolling and I feel you drifting away. And though my intuition tells me that it's too late, that in these conditions trying to bring back the flame is like trying to light a match in the rain. I still want to make you love me again. In the rain, like flying a kite in a hurricane, like riding a bike with no air chain. On a broken road, it's a losing game. Trying to light a match in the rain, like flying a kite in a hurricane, like riding a bike with no air chain. On a broken road, it's a losing game. The clouds are rolling and I feel you drifting away. And though my intuition tells me that it's too late, that in these conditions trying to bring back the flame is like trying to light a match in the rain.
In the market to purchase your new home? Sick of attending open homes? Tired of being beaten at auction? It's time to put the buying experts to work for you. Hi, I'm Michael Savartis from Real Property Buyers, and our job is to take the hassle out of purchasing property. Our independent team will do the house hunting for you and make sure you buy the right property at the right price. So no matter whether it's your first home or your forever home, visit realpropertybuyers.com.au and let us take the stress out of purchasing your new home.
Real Property Buyers are proud sponsors of Alive 90.5.
Are you an experienced disability care worker? Then why not consider the benefits of working for Global, the leading disability care agency in Sydney? Agency Work offers variety to work where and when you want. If you have previous disability care work experience, a first aid certificate and driver's license, then Global is the agency for you. Global offers great rates of pay and free training courses to its own disability care staff. Check out positions vacant on the website at globalcarestaff.com or call today on 1-800-009-292. That's globalcarestaff.com or call 1-800-009-292.
Station sponsor.
In Australia, the Federal Police receive a report of a missing person every 15 minutes. National Missing Persons Week is July 28 to August 3. For over 100 years, the Salvation Army International Family Tracing Service has been locating missing family and relatives. Today, they have a 75% success rate. There is hope. To locate a missing family member or relative, call the Salvos International Family Tracing Service. 1300 66 7366. It's a free service.
Find it hard to tune in? Jump on the internet. Stream live at www.alive905.com.au.
It's a 10:15. You're on Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario.
Well, thank you, Darren. Good morning to all our listeners to Live 90.5 Businesses with Mario. As I mentioned before, please make a show to tune 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. every Wednesday. Spotlight with Jim Taggart, good friend of mine and a mentor, somebody who gave me opportunity to become who I am today. Truly, truly remarkable. But it's time to continue our show with Darren. And we have our first guest in the show who's going to stay with us for the next 16 hours. And you know me, don't worry. So, well, thank you. Our guest, I was reading his name first and said, like, Julius Caesar, but he's not Julius Caesar, so, like, I don't want to, my English is not great, and our guest is going to say more about himself. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you, our guest in studio, Julian Jolly Day, who is the founder of Consensus Awards, which identify and award the best technology innovations in Australia and New Zealand, which means that Darren and I, we're going to provide some technology, and Jolly is going to give us an award. This year, the company celebrated 21 years, has more 180 judges and evaluated 1,300 technologies since 1999. He's recognized as the most successful technology awards. 90% of all winners have gone on to be highly successful worldwide, including Atlassian and Wise Tech Global. Okay, Atlassian. Well, Julian, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here and looking forward to talking a bit about Consensus, how we started and what we do.
Yeah, well, let's go first start about who is Julian Jolly Day.
Okay, it's interesting because Jolly is my nickname.
That's a nickname, sorry.
Yeah. So Julian Day, but Jolly is my nickname. I was given the nickname when I was 12 years of age, running around being a bit of a larrikin back in the UK. And my patrol leader at Scouts, his surname was Jolly, and he's the guy that actually gave me the nickname Jolly. And it stuck, and I think most people in the UK would call me Jolly, and probably well over half the people here call me Jolly as well.
Okay. So, like, you know, how do you find yourself, you know, when somebody calls you a nickname? It's much more better for you than somebody calls, say, Julian. Because Julian is not a very common name in Australia, right?
It might not so wrong. Common, no. But neither is Jolly.
Yeah, okay. So, like, we know the question is going to decide tonight the battle between you and I. But that's like, you better be ready, Julian, to answer this question properly rather than, you know, and certainly. So, Julian, your company says it's 21 years, but how did you start your career?
Yeah, it was
started in the UK or you started?
No, it started here. I came over in 1986, emigrated over.
That was the last
Australia.
Century, yeah. That's and, like a history channel. You know?
I married at the time an English girl. I was working in London, and yeah. She was from Adelaide, and we came over to Australia in 1984 to Adelaide and got married.
Yeah.
Went back, and then came over in 1986. And yeah. My background is all technology,
mm-hmm.
and we had sort of about 5 days in Sydney after the wedding.
Yeah,
and in those days, all the technology companies were in North Sydney. You know, you had all the names of all the major companies, IBM and Microsoft, in North Sydney. So, what a great place to work, and hence the reason for wanting to come over here, which is fantastic. And
no regrets coming to Australia.
Yes, yes. So, you know, at the end of the day, I love Australia. And
it's warmer. There's not rain.
Well, that's true. Well, there's rain today here. And well, it's cold today here, too.
It is. And I mean, sorry, so from what side of the England you're coming? London? No, did it on
Sydney? Yeah, I was born in a place called Henley-on-Thames, which is west of London.
It's
lovely.
Yes.
Lovely area.
How do you know, eh? How do you know?
I follow a train blog, and they often do things like on Henley-on-Thames, and there's a little branch line, and yeah,
right.
It's just a fantastic area.
Yeah. So it's also famous for the Henley Royal Regatta, which is held every year.
And there was a great Grand Designs episode that was done just on there as well.
Yes, there was, absolutely, yeah. So anyway, I was born there. I went to college in Plymouth in Devon,
mm-hmm.
On the border of Devon and Cornwall. I did 3-year business studies degree and went straight into the computer industry. In those days, the computer industry.
Can you just drive? Let us know what year was that? You talking about computers?
Sorry,
what year was that? When you say like
that was in 1978.
Wow.
No way. Computers then?
Yeah.
Darren, is that true?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
I don't know. I was five.
I was 3 years. I was a sales marketing guy.
Excuse my ignorance, but I was like, you know, I mean, I first time I saw a computer, no lies, 98, to come to Australia. And it was a dial-up, you know, on for the internet. And I said, like, what is this on keyboard? You know, I mean, what you do, like, you know, I mean, like, and that box, you know, you can connect with everything. Like, wow. I was shocked then. And I was working in intelligence services. I didn't know what the computer is. I was still using the typo in Croatia, seriously.
Well, in the early 80s, I was on the Amiga. The Amiga 1000 we had.
One of the old original PC-based. But in the days I went into computing, there were no PCs, of course. And there were lots of mainframe machines. And there were three major providers of mainframes. It was IBM, Unisys, and Burroughs.
Is Unisys still around? Or
Well, it was Univac in those days. And what actually happened is they merged. Burroughs and Univac merged and became Unisys. And yes, they're still around today.
Oh, my God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a short break. That was a Julian Day. Short introduction, but our introduction is going to lead us in the next 2 hours interviewing this lovely guest of ours, Julian Day, from Consensus Awards. We'll take a short break. You're listening live, 90.5 Business Insights with Mario, and you love it.
Alive 90.5.
At Waterflow Plumbing, we trust and respect our customers. In turn, our customers know that we will always strive to put them first and treat them with respect, honesty, and give them the best in plumbing. A good relationship with our lifelong customers works both ways. We at Waterflow Plumbing are proud to assist our customers throughout the many stages of their plumbing life. For all your plumbing needs, call Waterflow Plumbing 0488 300 480 or email info@waterflowplumbing.com.au. Waterflow Plumbing.
Need a new suit? See Mike Sampson Clothier at Winston Hills. He's some great business suits, in fact, suits for any special occasion. Mike also has a complete range of accessories, such as business or formal shirts, ties, belts and shoes, as well as plenty of casual wear for the season ahead. Mike Sampson Clothier is located at Shop 21, Winston Hills Mall, and is a proud sponsor of Monday Magazine with Happy Jack. And, of course, your sound, your community, 90.5.
All the local news and all the great music.
On your sound, your community.
Alive 90.5.
It's 26 minutes past 10. You're Alive 90.5. Business Insights with Mario.
Already?
It's
26
minutes. Time's flying.
Yeah, well.
Busy morning.
Very, very, very morning. Before we continue with our show, I'd like to say thank you to David Elliott, Minister of Police, New South Wales. We hijacked him for a couple of photos, and to Jim Target and Gillian. So we continue with our guest, and now guest Julian Day in the studio. He talks about how he hacked the first bank in UK. So it was a big train robbery. Was your idea or?
With the consensus.
So you come in Australia in 96.
Yeah.
And what was your first impression when you landed? Did you say like...
Oh, what an unbelievably fantastic country. Yeah. Number one, obviously moving to Sydney and the harbour and everything is just so beautiful. And of course getting involved straight away with the computer industry. It's interesting, before I came over, I went through a couple of recruitment agents in London and got off the plane, and one of them actually met us at the airport and looked after us and everything. And the first week I was here, I had three interviews. He'd lined them all up and had three job offers, and started the following week at one of those. So straight into work, which is fantastic. And for the last, you know, what now, 24 years or so, I've actually done my own thing, sort of. So I've run my own business. And obviously I'm here mostly to talk about consensus, but at the end of the day, I do a lot of other things as well. I'll do a fair bit of work for charity, and actually setting up a charity called Waterline Challenge, which will be run in November again this year. That'll be the third time it's been run, which will raise lots of money for different charities. But when I did arrive, I started with a company that was new, and so it was effectively a startup in those days. And that was a big challenge, but I already had a fair bit of sales and marketing experience, and it was great to sort of, you know, really sort of land into Australia, get my teeth stuck into something. It was a real challenge.
Yes, darling.
I was just thinking, casting my mind back, and when I was in primary school, would have been the late, well, the early 80s, what we used was the Microbee. The first computer. Cool. Microbee computers. I can say the name because they're not.
I'm sorry, darling, but that's like my first computer I saw in November 98. So like,
well, we had Lemonade Stall, and you had to load it from a tape, like a cassette, and through a player that put out the sound, and kind of like 5 out of 10 times it wouldn't load. You have to load it again, about 90 seconds, and then you start playing. That's my first computer memory.
That's because those original computers didn't have any memory.
So no, exactly.
That's right. Every time you know.
When you say no memory, which means like whatever you do, it doesn't stay in computer? Or?
Exactly, yeah. So it just had enough to run a program, but your record, like your hard disk wasn't there. You actually loaded stuff from tapes. If you want to save a document, you have to save it to a tape. And that's with the small computers as well as the big mainframes that Julian was talking about earlier.
Jesus, I didn't know this. Like, I was like, you know, obviously I slept, you know, through the communism, you know what I mean? Because 4 hours of pen and paper was the biggest achievement, you know what I mean? To be honest with you, but computers, like,
then,
you know.
Then you had the typewriter.
Yeah, like, you know, but can you imagine, like, you know, when I was doing interrogations, you know what I mean, and all this work, you know what I mean? And then you have the person next to you, like, you know, from 7 to 3 p.m., you know what I mean? 7 a.m., 3 p.m., she will type in, I mean, the statements. And then after 3 p.m., you need to do on your own. Can you imagine? You know the liquid, white liquid.
Yeah,
you know,
white out.
You know, me to what? Yeah. God, it was a bad. It was a, it was a terrible. But now, like you have the, Julian. So, Julian, what led you to start your business?
Well, it's interesting. It's an opportunity where I met a gentleman by the name of Terry, who was running the Australian Design Awards at Standards Australia. The Australian Design Awards is for physical design. It might be a new kettle or a chair or even a car or whatever. And Terry was running that program. I met him in 1996. And because of my technology background, he invited me to be one of his judges, which I did for a couple of years. And we met at a mutual friend's Christmas party in December 1998. And said, oh, I said, hey, Terry, are you okay for the running the awards again this year? He said, oh, look, I'm moving on from Standards. He was going back to the UK. He and his wife were from the UK. And I said, well, look, when you're back, you know, let's catch up. And we did in April 1999. I'd already thought this through, that Terry knew how to run awards programs and I obviously had a technology background, and at the time there were no technology awards in Australia, so we started Consensus on the 1st of July 1999. And we now...
I just keep on putting these times. That's when I was married, so in 98. And I was just thinking, what computer did I have then? It was a PC by then. And I remember we used to do Maya for the finances. And, well, that's still around. Maybe I shouldn't say that word. But, I keep on thinking. And, like, it's amazing how far we've come. So 99, nearly 20... Well, over 20 years now.
Correct.
That's
correct,
wonderful.
Correct. And it's quite interesting, the, you know, in terms of the awards we run, you know, looking at innovation in technology, things have changed dramatically over that 20-year period. And whereas back in, obviously, 1999, most of the applications, software applications that we were judging were mid-range, I would suggest mid-range or mainframe-type applications. Whereas, of course, today, the real focus is on, obviously, smartphone technology and apps. So it has changed dramatically.
There you go, Mario. Apps, as you know it.
Well, look, I was living through the era of not the technology, you know what I mean, and then suddenly, you know, being exposed to technology and, you know, I never learned, you know, about computers, nothing, you know what I mean, or just as I go, you know what I mean, I learned something from you, tell me something, Julian. But, you know, I mean, you know, I now know how to type and search some sites on the internet. But the thing is, the technology has gone so far. But being judged, you know, by technology. So give me back about this kettle story. You've been the judge.
Yeah.
So people will come with their product, right? And whatever the process it is. And then you need to judge them, obviously, and give somebody an award. What's the involving to be, not just a judge, but what's involving in your mindset, you know, I mean, to award somebody? This is like, you know, kettle, yep. Less electricity, more capacity of the water, better color. You know, like, I'm curious about this, Darren, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, that's right.
Yeah, please, can you just...
Yeah, look, it's a very good question, because we do state quite openly on our website, which is consensus.com.au, that we are the world's most successful awards program, and the program in plural, yeah. Because we now run 9 different awards programs. Yeah. When we started in 1999, we started with 2 programs, the Consensus Software Awards and also the IT Writers Awards. Okay. So the Consensus Software Awards are obviously looking at software technology, whereas the IT Writers Awards were actually honouring the journalists and editors actually writing about technology, which is good because we run their awards program, and obviously we're pretty well connected with all of the senior journalists and editors in the technology space, which obviously assists us in terms of getting the message out about our awards. So when people apply, number one, across all of the awards programs, they have to actually demonstrate the technology. This is not a pitch of an idea. So they either have to demonstrate it or at least show a prototype. so that the judges can make an assessment on the technology. And we do it in three ways. Number one, we do it by looking at is it truly innovative? We have quite a lot of people we talk to, and I do a lot of screening, whereby they say, look, we've got this great new idea, and once I actually learn a little bit more about it, I actually give them some advice and say, look, it's really not that innovative. There are other technologies around that do something very similar. So I know what the judges are looking for, having done this now for over 20 years. And the great thing is that we now have on our books it's 183 judges. And these are all senior people from industry. They're subject matter experts in their own space. And we put the judging panels together from that pool of judges based upon what we're judging. We actually did run some judging just the other day, and we had, which is fantastic in the fact that obviously this the COVID lockdown, but we did evaluate and assess three different technologies, and two of those have won awards. And the important thing is that the judges look at three aspects. Number one, which I've mentioned, is the innovation. Is it truly innovative?
Can I ask you one question on that topic? Can you define me in technology? What is the innovative technology? Some new software doing something different, or I don't know, computer looks better, or it's a thinner screen. What is for innovation when you're doing judging? You know what I mean?
So we look at it point of view. Is it unique? I think it's really the key to it.
Mm-hmm.
The judges will assess it on the basis of their knowledge of their industry sectors, and will know obviously what other technologies are out there, so they can actually make that decision.
So judges need to be not just knowledgeable; they need to do research, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
And the second point about innovation is that it might be an innovative new process. It doesn't actually have to be technology. So you're not actually necessarily evaluating a technology itself, but actually the way that it's being delivered to the market is new.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a mixture of both. Yeah,
Darren, I think you should be judge on that one. You know, you know technology, you have left, right and center. But, you know, like, so we have the uniqueness process, and what's the third part?
Well, so the uniqueness and the obviously making sure that typically worldwide, it is unique. So it's okay making an assessment here, but we're identifying technologies that we believe will be able to go worldwide and be highly successful worldwide. So it's not just looking at an assessment here as to whether it's unique, but into those markets overseas as well.
Darren, we're going to make some new technology in a break. You're listening to Lion 90.5 Business Insights with Mario. Now, guest in studio is Julian Day, and we'll take a short break. We'll be back with more questions to all our listeners. Please come on live 90.905.com.au. Switch to the stream on live and listen us.
Alive 90.5.
Why I believe that you don't have a bad bone in your body. But the bruises on your ego make you go wow, 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 yeah. Wanna believe that even when you're stone cold, you're sorry. Tell me why you gotta be so out of your mind, yeah. I know you're choking on your fears. Already told you I'm right here. I will stay by your side every night. I know you need the upper hand even when we aren't fighting. Cause in the past you had to prepare every time, yeah. Don't wanna leave, but if you're gonna fight then do it for me. I know you built a love for broken love, so just try, yeah. I know you're choking on your fears. Oh,
Police is an urban renewal and property development specialist whose reputation is centred on delivering great places to live and work. They take pride in transforming and delivering harmonious communities. Royal Shores, developed by Pace, is a new waterfront community in Parramatta. Set right on the waterfront at the gateway to Sydney Harbour, Royal Shores is one of Pace's most unique urban developments to date. Pace, transforming places since 1978. Station sponsor.
The Hills area has one of the most beautiful cemeteries in the Sydney region. Castlebrook Memorial Park at Rouse Hill provides the perfect resting place for your loved ones with manicured lawns and beautifully tended gardens. They cater for people from all backgrounds, and you can talk to their family service advisors almost any day from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Their website is castlebrook.com.au. Castlebrook Memorial Park is at Windsor Road, Rouse Hill, and is a proud sponsor of Alive 90.5.
Alive 90.5, all the way from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today.
It's 18 minutes to 11. Business Insights on Alive 90.5. Take it away, Mario.
Thank you, Darren, and thank you to all listeners, particularly to our sponsors on Alive 90.5. .com.au FM. You love it, this station, and this station brings you, you know, hundreds of thousands of listeners weekly. And our guest in studio is Julian Day from Consensus Awards. And in the last couple of minutes, Darren and I, we are just won the first place, you know, I mean, for this weekend. we'll win something, you know, I mean, we just thought that Julian, you have one choice, you know, I mean, give us an award. But jokes on side, it's very important for the businesses to be recognized somehow, somewhere in the process of their existence. And everybody, they try to do the best, you know, I mean, some they're running the products, some they're running the services. However, there's a people who, you know, inventing the things for us to use on a daily basis and make it our businesses, our lives easier. Now, our guest Julian Day, he's has a three categories when it comes to judging. One is innovative, and we talk about uniquenesses, processes, and the worldwide acceptance. And as well, he elaborated what is innovation and for the judges. Now, there's a two other processes or two other criteria which are potential and performance in, from show. So what's the potential for somebody who is rolling to reward? So, like, yeah, so how judges you see the potential?
Sure. So when anybody applies, they've actually obviously got to demonstrate that. Okay.
Well, thank you, Julian. That will be all in time for today. So no, I'm just going to
But at the end of the day, it may be innovative, but also, is there a market for it? So the potential is very important. They have to demonstrate or that they know their market, how they're going to take the technology to market, also who is already in that space and know exactly what their worldwide potential is, not just here in Australia. And the next one is the third criteria is performance. And under performance, we're actually drilling down into the technology to understand its architecture, its design, its scalability, as I mentioned as well, the go-to-market strategy. Also the user experience, you know, they have to demonstrate that the user is going to get benefit from the technology as well.
Yes.
So the point being that our awards is not a competition, all right? So in each of the actual awards programs, whether it be the software awards or the green tech awards or now the medtech awards or the blockchain awards, at the end of the day, the judges will look at all of the entries on their own merits. So there's no clear winner. It's not a competition. They'll look at every single entry on its own merits and decide as a group of judges.
Yes.
Hence the reason we call our company Consensus. Out of those, which ones receive awards? And the winners will then receive a citation that's written by the judges.
Yes.
And agreed by all the judges. It's not just one person writing it. It's actually all of the judges agree to what the citation is. And, of course, then the winner can use that in their marketing material, put it on their website go to market. Having that rubber stamped by a large number of industry people, experts. It's a peer assessment, and it gives the organisation a real big leg up. Many of the winners cite the fact that it's allowed them to open new doors, the fact they can actually say they've won a Consensus Award, which is truly independent and of great benefit to them on the marketing side.
John, I have a question for you. Like, something was, you know, come on top of my mind, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's relating to everybody in the business, because everybody wants to succeed in business. Nobody's in business just, you know what I mean, you know, to fail, or, you know what I mean, not to be seen, not heard, or at least, you know, everybody has the same desire to provide a good products or services to clients and, of course, make a living from that one. Now, we're talking about innovations. Innovations, it's a totally different field. Innovation doesn't necessarily need to be, you know, as you say, software, any type of product, and it converts into the business, like Elon Musk. I mean, he started with, obviously, with electric cars, but and becomes, you know, I mean, the world-known, you know, I mean, now SpaceX provider, and, you know, name it. What would be your biggest tip for anybody who venture into innovation space?
Sorry, what's the actual question? Like, because I live and breathe this space all the time. There are various different
like
aspects.
Like I said, Darren and I, we come with a new idea. We want to make a new mic for the studio. You know what I mean? And we believe that our product is going to be best. What would we give the tip to anybody who start, who venture or go on a path of inventing something new?
Yeah, look, I think number one, people, if they come up with a new idea and looking to develop a technology around that, i.e. they're very keen to develop the technology and say that it's innovative, mm-hmm. the first thing they should do is talk to at least 10 people. Typically they don't. They might they might talk to one or two people,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, get some feedback, and those people are reasonably positive. The point being that if you don't talk to at least 10 people, you're not going to get sufficient feedback from a large number of people to say, yes, I agree, that is innovative. Therefore, share your idea. A lot of people that come up with new technology, innovation, are fairly reluctant to share their ideas because they're worried that the idea will be stolen or whatever.
That was my next question.
Yeah? But at the end of the day, you know, that really doesn't happen. You can protect it through non-disclosure agreements if you wish to. But at the end of the day, we are open for anybody to approach us and just to, you know, run an idea past us, you know, because we've been doing it for so many years. We can make an assessment fairly quickly as to whether it's worth them putting further effort in and spending more money.
How did you know your judges? So Darren and I, because Darren is a very smart man. No question asking. I mean, this is not me glorifying him in front of 160,000 listeners this very moment, but I know Darren. Darren is very quiet. He's a silent achiever, but he's very knowledgeable, and he knows when he does something, he does very well, particularly technology. But, for example, Darren and I, we come idea, new mic. How do your judges will know that Darren and I didn't cipher? You know, I mean, not Darren, most likely me, not Darren. Me is going to be more, but sure, we didn't cipher some technology from, I don't know, some other big brand, right? How your judge is going to know that there's a component that I didn't, you know?
You're right. I think there's two aspects to that. Yes. Is number one, having a large number of judges, not, because that's very important. You know, the decision's not being made by just two or three people.
Ah, okay.
The last assessment we've just done, there were actually 11 judges. We did it via Zoom online.
Mm-hmm.
And the final assessment is a 45-minute presentation, mm-hmm. by the entrants.
Yeah.
And we ask them, we give them guidelines as to how they should present. So it's 10 minutes on what's the innovation, mm-hmm. 10 minutes on potential, and 10 minutes on performance, leaving 15 minutes for Q&A.
45 minutes? That's a long time.
It's
wow.
And it's on English.
That's a grill.
Oh, well, not. I will say Jew.
But it's interesting. It sounds like a real. But the interesting thing is that all of the participants really, really enjoy it. And the reason they enjoy it is that all of our judges are very, very knowledgeable. And of course, all of our judges already have the written entry form, which is very comprehensive. And all of the judges would have received that entry form at least 4 or 5 days in advance, so they can do their own research. We ask the entrants in the entry form to obviously provide links to other information. So, of course, the judges would have already sussed that out. So the judges already come, if you like, ready to ask relevant questions based upon their background. And that's the important thing about having a large number of judges, that you'll get a whole range of different questions based upon the background of the judges.
It looks like a very thorough process, but you don't leave the you don't leave the space for mistakes. That's the this is a good one. No space for mistakes. This is my one. But you know, before we take this short break, just one more question: do you running any awards? Any consensus awards for the in the food arena, or maybe
in the food
or the losing the weight? Because well, I like to be good judges.
Since you say that, because we've actually got a couple of entries lined up in the food space for the next 6 months, but they would be entering into the consensus, the generic consensus innovation awards.
I truly admire what you guys are doing. That's the reason why so many number of judges. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what time it is now, Darren?
It's 8 minutes to 11, song and some messages and the news, and we'll be back after the news.
You're listening to Live 90.5 FM, the Australia most desirable community radio station. Thank you to our 160,000 listeners. This very moment, our guest in studio, Julian Dane from Consensus Awards. We'll take a short break, music, news, weather, and we'll be back in 10 minutes.
Alive 90.5.
Is that it?
Alive 90.5.
Concise Finance is a nationally recognised mortgage broking firm with an integrated and holistic approach to financial services. We are built on the foundations of a tailored experience for each customer. With extensive experience in residential and investment property loans, we are the mortgage broking firm that will help you secure your financial freedom. The ethos at Concise Finance is to fully engage with clients to get it right the first time. If you're looking for your next property or to better your interest rates, call one of the team from Concise Finance on 1300 978 357. Station sponsor.
Are you in the market to hire an honest, reliable, long-term plumber? If so, you want to look out for one that is fully licensed and insured, has your interest at heart, displays professionalism and is branded, neat, clean and tidy, and treats your domain with respect and care. Look no further. Waterflow Plumbing is your plumber. Fully licensed and insured in plumbing, draining, gas fitting, roof plumbing, waterproofing and mini excavation. Call Bradley on 04883 00480 or email info at waterflowplumbing.com.au. Waterflow Plumbing, station sponsor.
Pace is an urban renewal and property development specialist whose reputation is centred on delivering great places to live and work. They take pride in transforming and delivering harmonious communities. Melrose Park, developed by Pace, is one of Australia's largest urban renewal projects, providing new homes, jobs, retailing, parks and open spaces, and community facilities. Located around 6 kilometres east of Parramatta, Melrose Park is considered to be one of Sydney's next property hotspots. For more information on this exciting project, go to www.melrosepark.com.au. Station sponsor Pace, transforming places since 1978.
So what did you do on the weekend?
Oh, you know, just stayed at home, acted as a taxi for the kids. There's just never enough time to get things done. You?
I went hiking and canoeing with the kids and got qualified as a snorkeling instructor. But I know what you mean, the weekends really are too short.
You did all that?
Yeah. I mean, why should the kids have all the fun? Join Scouts as a leader. You'd love it.
Oh, the kids would too.
Do it. Just go to joinscouts.com.au.
Hear all of your 50s, 60s and 70s favourites, and some I'm sure that you haven't heard in a long time, by listening to Jukebox Jive with Kerry McGay. Friday nights, 9 until 8, here on Alive 90.5.
Around the world.
Around the globe.
Streaming live 24/7.
Alive905.com.au.
Alive 90.5. Here's the latest news brought to you by Pace, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Brady Evans. Melbourne is preparing to re-enter lockdown measures and border restrictions are in place as the coronavirus situation in Victoria continues to deteriorate. Victoria has today recorded 134 new coronavirus cases,